Valley Church. You guys have had a good week. Welcome back to our online service. Last week, we started a short series on the spiritual discipline of solitude and silence. And it is such a short series that today we will finish the series. We talked last Sunday about why we need solitude and silence as followers of Jesus and kind of the unique opportunity it provides for us to experience the presence of God. Some of the things we looked at was a passage in 1 Kings, which is chapter 19. If you want to go back and read that, if you missed it, that'd be very helpful. There's also a book that I quoted from a little bit called Invitation to Solitude and Silence by an author named Ruth Haley Barton. I'm kind of slowly working through that book, and I would highly recommend that to you if you want to do some further study on this topic. This week, I just kind of want to paint a picture of how you can do this, how you can kind of implement the rhythm of solitude and silence into your life and what that could look like. Before I do that, I just want to make a quick point, a very important one, that Jesus seemed to have a regular rhythm of solitude and probably silence as well. In Mark 1:35, we read that Jesus got up early in the morning when it was still very dark, departed, and went out to a deserted place, and there he spent time in prayer. Luke 4:42, the next morning, Jesus departed and went to a deserted place. Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Not only did Jesus himself go away to pray, but he also told us to go be alone. In Matthew 6:6, he said, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who sees what is done in secret." So, there's this example from Jesus and the instruction from Jesus that part of our regular rhythm should be that we go get away to be with our Father. In addition, there's kind of some instruction throughout the rest of the Bible about being quiet and being silent. We read in Psalm 37:7, it says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." Now that verb that's translated as "be still" could also be translated as "be silent" or "be quiet." In fact, Eugene Peterson, in his translation, writes about this psalm saying, "Quiet down before God and be prayerful before him." Psalm 46:10, many of us have heard, says, "Be still and know that I am God." That word is in Hebrew different than the one in Psalm 37. This one kind of carries the connotation of ceasing or leaving it alone. So the NET Bible actually says, "Stop your striving," and the Message says, "Step out of the traffic." So this passage and many others call for silence or quietness or stillness as a means of honor, respect, and trust while we wait for God to be the one to act. On the shore of the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army chasing them down, Moses tells the Israelites in Exodus 14:14, "The Lord Yahweh will fight for you, and you have only to be silent," or to be still. Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes this. He says, "Silence is the simple stillness of the individual under the word of God. We are silent before hearing the word because our thoughts are already directed to the word, as a child is quiet when he enters his father's room. We are silent after hearing the word because the word is still speaking and dwelling within us. We are silent at the beginning of the day because God should have the first word. And we are silent before going to sleep because the last word also belongs to God. We keep silence solely for the sake of the word, and therefore not in order to show disregard for the word, but rather to honor and receive it." So I think we have a pretty good basis for moving forward and working toward developing a rhythm of solitude and silence as part of how we follow Jesus. We have presence of God appearing before Elijah in the sound of silence that we looked at last week in 1 Kings 19. We have multiple directives to God's people through the Torah and the Psalms that being still and quiet is a means of honoring and trusting him by waiting on him. And then we add to this the clear rhythms of Jesus of getting alone to be with his Father, and then the witness of a couple thousand years of Christians practicing this discipline. I think it's safe to say it's worth working on today. So, what I want to do is just to give you some really simple ideas and options and share some things that I'm working on, things that I'm thinking about and learning. And I'm kind of hoping and trusting that as I talk, God might kind of help something, one or two things stick out to you and prompt you to try out in your life with Jesus. So the first thing that I want to share, encourage you with, is that you should probably start small. The ability to be silent and to be alone and to experience God's presence in that is a muscle. And perhaps it's one that we haven't used in a while, haven't developed. The noise and the distraction of our world can cause that muscle to become weak. So start small. And that could look like 2 minutes of silence and stillness in the morning, 2 minutes in the middle of your day, and 2 minutes before you go to sleep. You'd be surprised how difficult 120 seconds of silence can be. The idea is that we would kind of, in those moments, empty our mind of distraction and allow ourselves to simply be in the presence of our Father without an agenda, without a prayer or to-do list, but just to enjoy sitting with Him. Another thing that you could try is to simply adjust your current rhythm of reading scripture and praying. If that's your rhythm, I know that that's generally my rhythm, is to read my Bible and pray, which are the standards, rightfully so. They're very good things. Keep doing them. But maybe you could try just kind of tweaking your rhythm to include some silence and stillness before or after, or both, after you read or pray. Rather than jumping right to the Bible or jumping right kind of to a prayer list, if you have a prayer list, you could try setting aside 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes before you read or after, just to sit and be with your Father. If right now you kind of feel like an open book and you're just like, life is crazy right now, I'm ready to try anything, the thing that I would recommend the most is something called the daily office. Now, this word office is not referring to the place that you work. It comes from a Latin word, which means work. And so our daily office, our daily work, our first priority is to be with God. Another name for this is called fixed hour prayer. The idea is that we just have time with God multiple times a day at the same time every day. We read in Psalm 55:17, morning, noon, and evening, I cry out and He hears my voice. That's David. We read in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. So we see just in those two examples and many others that there are rhythms to the prayer life of God's people throughout the scriptures and throughout church history. And so we kind of want to recapture this in our lives if we want to be to do what the daily office kind of recommends, and that's to be with God at fixed times during the day. One of my favorite resources for this is something called Emotionally Healthy Day by Day. I've recommended it quite a few times through our church, so if you've heard this before, I apologize, but it's a book, or rather kind of a daily devotional by a guy named Pete Scazzaro. He wrote Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, and then this counterpart to it, or this kind of additional work called Day by Day, which is simply a daily guide through the daily office. And so he recommends twice a day. You could do it in the morning and the afternoon, or the morning and the evening. And what this is basically 2 minutes of silence and stillness, and then a short passage of scripture, and then a short, like a paragraph or two of some devotional that's kind of meant to get our hearts thinking about the Lord. And then it ends with some time for prayer and another 2 minutes of silence and stillness. This is the tool that I use just about every day, or rather when I'm doing well in my spiritual rhythms and the rhythms I want to have. This is the resource that I'm using, is Day by Day by Pete Scazzaro. I love it. There's something anchoring about having 3 points in your day to remind yourself who you are in Christ, that you can just be with Him, be quiet. You don't have to do anything, but just be with your Father. Another thing that you could try is listening prayer or breathing prayer. If you have followed our Pause podcast, we do this there. The idea is just that we slow down and we just breathe and we listen to God. We don't have an agenda, a list of things that we're praying for. We just want to be in the presence of God. And we do this through the process of just breathing in slowly, breathing out slowly. There are lots of different kinds of prayer in the scripture. There's prayers of praise and lament and intercession, prayers of spiritual warfare, prayers of confession. Listening or breathing prayer, or kind of just being quiet, is another form of being with God and praying to Him. The idea that I've been thinking about with this is that I want to be present to what God might want to say to me, that I would be quiet long enough to just listen. It makes me think about these times, probably that I've done this, where that other Christians that I know have been faced with making a decision in their life and they're having a hard time discerning what they think God wants. Or maybe they've made a decision that to me seems like maybe not the best, wisest decision. And they say the words, I prayed about it. Like, I prayed about it, but I still don't know what to do. Or they tell me the decision they made and say, well, I prayed about it and I feel like God said this. It makes me think, like, Do you pray, but did you listen? Like, did you pause for long enough to be present to what God might want to say through the process of being quiet and silent? The last thing you could try is something called retreat, which is exactly what it sounds like. The idea is that you would get up from your normal daily routine and go escape and be somewhere else, be somewhere different. That could look like a hike. It could look like going into a closet by yourself. It could look like, taking a day trip and just being by yourself out of your daily rhythm and routine for the purpose of being quiet, being still, and listening for the voice of God in your life. The idea that I'm thinking about, kind of focusing on right now, that I'd love to encourage you with is to balance out kind of the read Bible and pray rhythm, which many of us have, and it's great, but to balance that with a rhythm of being still and listening. Before we planted Valley Church, I read a number of books by this pastor and author named Eugene Peterson, and he talks about the role of what a pastor is, and it really shaped kind of how I think about my calling in my life. And what he shared was that pastors aren't advanced Christians or professional Christians or expert Christians. We're just the ones that have decided to make our life about following Jesus and helping others do the same. And so I kind of view my job as obviously not being an expert, but being here to remind you and myself of what we both truly want. I know that you want to follow Jesus, that deep down you desire to be close to Jesus and to become more like him. And I do too. Like, I desperately want to do that. The thing is that I feel that desire differently from like day to day, week to week, season to season. Sometimes I feel very passionate about that, and sometimes I feel very apathetic. And I know that that can be your guys' experience as well. And so it's very possible that as I'm talking about this, giving this teaching, it's hitting you in a day or a week or a season where your motivation is just low. Or maybe you're just like primed and ready to go and get at this silence and solitude thing. And so wherever it hits you today, I just want to encourage you, not as someone who is like ahead or advanced in any way, but like I'm on this journey with you and I'm working on it. And I want to say, come with me. Let's go be with the Father. Let's get quiet and listen to him and just enjoy being in his presence. A.W. Tozer said that what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And I think what he means is that our concept of God, what comes into our mind, inescapably defines who we are and shapes what we do and why we do it. And I'm not sure how or when this started, but I think I realized that I had this kind of underlying thought about who God was, that God was primarily like a boss with a to-do list for his church, which he is the boss. He's the king, and he does have things that he wants us to do. What I'm trying to learn is that I think God is primarily my loving father who just wants me to be with him. As I was processing this, I was thinking about memories of my dad, who is the best man that I know and an amazing follower of Jesus. Sometimes we would have chores to do on Saturdays, and he still makes jokes about it today. If I go and, you know, stay with them at their farm up in Vancouver, he'll say, "Chores tomorrow morning," and I'm like, "Nope." But I have memories, a few memories, where I was growing up and we would wake up on a Saturday and he'd make breakfast for us. And then he'd say, "All right, time to get to it. We got some chores to do." And we'd be like, "Oh, Dad," but we would go do some chores. I have some memories of that, but I have a ton of memories. Primarily, I remember that my dad just wanted to be with his family, doing something, doing nothing, playing games, watching movies, going on errands. Like, did he have a list of chores that he needed help doing? Yes, I'm sure. But it never got in the way of his desire to just be the dad that loved his family and wanted to spend time with us. I have far more memories of not doing chores, but just like hanging out on the couch with my dad or sitting in the hot tub or things like that. And so I'm here to remind you today that God is our loving, he is your loving, adoring father who just wants to be with you. Yes, there's a life of Christian service and work that he has lined out for us that we should walk in, but you are not what you do for God. You are not measured by how long you prayed or how many people or things you prayed for. You're not accepted based on how much Bible you read or how many sermons you listen to. You're not approved based on like how often you serve in the church. You are first and foremost a beloved child of God, accepted, cherished, treasured. And he wants you to just sit in his lap and say, "Hi, Dad, I just want to sit with you for a bit and be with you." So my prayer for our church is that we would internalize that, that we would internalize who God is, that he is our loving Father who just wants us to be with him. And I encourage you, church, to walk in these disciplines that the church has been walking in for many, many years of getting alone to just be with God and to contemplate him and to think about him as our Father who just wants us to be with him. So we're praying that you in your community would be able to kind of flesh this out and figure out what rhythms will work in your life. And our prayers that it would be incredibly fulfilling for you as you step out on this journey with me, learning how to be quiet and learning how to be alone with God in his presence. And there I think we will find fullness of joy.